Thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
What could be more important than our subject today? How to overcome temptation. One of two things happen. Either we overcome temptation or temptation overcomes us. I want you to know clearly from the get-go, from the start, God intends us to have the power to overcome temptation. In fact, one scripture says that sin shall no longer have dominion over you. So we are to have power over sin. And to have power over sin means to have power over the temptation that would lead us into sin. So that's what we want to learn today. Well, in order to learn the principles on how to overcome temptation, we must first learn how temptation works. And jot these notes down. You will want them, I know. First of all, temptation begins in the mind. It affects our thinking. It all starts right here. And then watch what happens. It begins in the mind, and then those thoughts become ever-enlarging, ever-growing imaginations. And then imaginations create emotions, so that this temptation that started in the mind and grew in its imagination power then gets empowered by emotion. And that leads to what we call a stronghold. A stronghold develops, and Satan wants to make sure that we are captivated and held in bondage to these strongholds. In fact, one of the biggest lies that Satan ever gives us when we're in the middle of temptation is, give in now and try hard, try harder the next time. Give in now and try harder the next time. A stronghold, look at this again. A stronghold develops. A stronghold is a wrong system or a wrong pattern of thought empowered by emotion. Get that again. It is a system of thought. It's a way of thinking, a wrong way of thinking that gets empowered by emotion. And then we get caught in the grip of this emotion, in the grip of this temptation that started in the thoughts, grew in imagination, got empowered by emotion, and became a stronghold. And now we're in its grip. And it's much more difficult, of course, to get rid of the temptation once you're into it than to prevent it to begin with. How do we know that these four principles are true? Well, like we get everything from. We get it right from the Scripture. So let's take a look at what the Scriptures have to say. Look at this Scripture. But every man is tempted, look at this now, when he is drawn away of his own lusts. And then he's enticed. And then when this lust has conceived, after the emotion has driven it and the imagination has become, it ultimately brings forth sin. And watch this now. Sin brings forth death. But watch this. It's when it's finished. Giving in to temptation might seem like an okay thing for a while, but that sin that we got into always brings devastation. Now watch the closing part of the Scripture. James says, do not err, my beloved. Don't make any mistake about this. When sin is finished, it brings forth devastation. If we do not learn how to get the power over temptation, to overcome temptation, and instead temptation overcomes us or overpowers us, the end result will always be devastation in our lives. So that's how temptation works. It begins in the mind, enlarges with the imagination, gets empowered by emotion, and becomes a stronghold. Now, before we get to the direct answer to the question of how to overcome temptation, let's talk about some of the sources of temptation. Number one, I want you to know that God is never a source of temptation. He never causes you to be tempted. Look at this. Let no man say that when he is tempted, don't let him ever say, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempteth he any man. Don't ever think that God is behind the temptation. The second cause of temptation is, or source of temptation, is ourselves. Again, let's look back at this same verse. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. See, we are to blame and enticed. Here's the problem. We have a self that is usurping God's rightful place, an uncrucified self, a self that has not been to the cross, not been subdued, not brought under control, not brought under authority, if you please. We have an out-of-control self that is submitted to no government but its own reckless passions. It is this uncontrolled, dominating, overbearing, usurping ego that makes us walk right into any and every whim-satisfying, lust-fulfilling temptation. And that's why Calvary is so important. Because it is at the cross where that dominant ego gets crucified that the real you that's underneath may appear. The beautiful you. The you that God created. The you that is now free of the tyranny of an unsanctified and unsubmitted ego which only knows self-satisfying lust. And this is precisely what Paul cried when he said in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. It is not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We can be the source of temptation. That's why we need to get to Calvary. Get that dominating ego dethroned and Christ enthroned, because that's precisely what conversion to Christ is. From self-tyranny to Christ's management. That's the change that needs to take place. Well, then, others also are a source of temptation. Let's take it. And the Bible has so many illustrations, but I chose this one. Take a look at it with me. This is a story of Joseph. And here's what it says. And it came to pass after those things, look at this, that his boss's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said to him, lie with me. I want you to note this. But he refused. He refused. Now, Joseph was just experiencing a temptation that probably every one of us that's listening, and myself included, have ever experienced in life, and that is sexual temptation. But it came from someone else. It's bad enough to have the lust and have to deal with that yourself. But when someone else becomes the tempter, I want you to know that other people can seduce. And if they do, they will induce. And if they induce, they will reduce you by leading you into temptation. And that's why the scriptures that we're going to see in a few moments show us exactly how to escape from this kind of temptation, lust. He refused, even though he was being enticed by a woman. And if you read the book of Proverbs, you'll discover in the book of Proverbs exactly God's instructions about women, evil women who lead men astray, and for that matter, evil men who lead women astray. And seduction, however, temptation can come from somebody else. Well, then, also, circumstances can bring us into temptation. And that's why, look at the scripture, God says, I want you to abstain from anything that even appears evil. If it appears like it could be evil, stay out of it. If there's a place, a circumstance where temptation is bound to be, if there's the appearance that it could happen there, we're to abstain from. Because circumstances, all of a sudden you get caught in a tempting situation, and we're taught to abstain from those things. And then, fifthly, Satan is a source of temptation as well. I want you to know that you have a very real adversary. In fact, the scripture calls him just that. It says, your adversary, the devil, goes about seeking whom he may devour. Now watch this. Go to the scriptures with me. Satan. For Jesus was led up into the Spirit, into the wilderness, to be tempted of the devil. Look at this phrase, tempted of the devil. Now, the devil isn't behind everything, but he sure is behind a lot. So Jesus was tempted by the devil. And I want you to know that you will be too. In fact, I want you to see another scripture when Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica. He said, I wanted to know about your faith. Now watch this. Lest by some means the tempter has tempted you. The tempter. It's another name for our arch enemy, God's arch enemy, if you please, the devil. Now, one more scripture, because I don't want you to miss this. In the book of Chronicles, look at what it says. And Satan stood up against Israel. Look at this. And provoked David. If Satan stood up and provoked David, I want you to know Satan is going to stand up to try to provoke you. But there's a way to have power over temptation. That's what we want to get to. And just before we do, I want us first to learn that the best way to deal with temptation is to avoid it. We're going to learn how to avoid it. Then we're going to learn how to overcome it. So let's go with how to avoid temptations. Number one, you do it by alertness. Alertness, and please get this definition down. Alertness is the awareness of that which is taking place around me. Get that now. Awareness of that which is taking place around me so that I can have the right response to that which is taking place around me. Alertness is the key to avoiding temptation. If we're not alert, we'll be walking into it. We'll be in fellowship with people who will tempt us. Satan will have access to it. But alertness is the character quality that God wants us to have. Awareness of that which is taking place around me so that I can have the right response. Now, this alertness is twofold. Number one, it is alertness to avoid evil circumstances. Here's a scripture. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Don't even walk the same street. Look at this. Go not in the way of evil men. Wherever they are, don't go there. Alertness will help you avoid circumstances. If you're alert that a certain path, a certain place, a certain hangout, a certain group that gets together is going to be a place of temptation, then you can overcome the temptation by never even have to deal with it, simply by being alert that that's what it's like. And look at this now. Go back to the scripture with me. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Don't even look at it. Turn from it and pass away. Because alertness will let you know that there are places that would be places of temptation, but we avoid them because alertness is avoiding evil circumstances. Avoiding is not just avoiding places, but perhaps music and television and video, books and magazines, and even not driving where the wrong billboards appear. Alertness, not just to that which is around you physically, but mentally, emotionally, as in music, television, books, and magazines. Well, the second thing that alertness will help us to do is not to just avoid evil circumstances, but secondly, to avoid evil companions. This is vitally important. The scripture says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But watch this now. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I think the biggest thing that leads people the wrong way today is usually an evil man or an evil woman standing on the way of life trying to pull you off in a different direction. It's how we lose our children. That's why Psalm 1 is so important. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way with sinners, or sit in the seat with those who are scornful. I tell you that evil companions can corrupt. In fact, David made a commitment that's a good one for each one of us. Look at what he says. I am a companion of all them that fear thee. Look at this. That's who are my companions. My companions are those that fear you, God, and those that keep your precepts, your laws, your commandments, your statutes, your testimonies. Those are the ones I'm going to spend time with. I'm going to avoid all others. Alertness. To avoid evil circumstances and to avoid evil companions. And then, temptations can be avoided by prayer. Here's what the scripture says. Watch and pray. Now, the watch part is the one we just did. Alertness. Watch to that which is around you. And now, pray. Look at this. Why? That you enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. The watch is the alertness part, but you need to pray because prayer is where we get directions from God so that He can lead us in the right way. And that sort of leads us to the next one. You can avoid temptations by obedience to the initial promptings of God's Spirit. Look at the scripture. This I say then, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Look at this. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would unless you're walking in the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is so faithful to every single one of us. He's as present in your life right now as ever. And He is there every time temptation occurs to give you a signal, if you will listen to Him, to warn you. For He comes exactly to do that so that we don't get caught flat-footed, so to speak, and fall into temptation. He gives us promptings to avoid, to go by, to stay away from. And you may never know the reasons behind it. But if the Spirit gives you a prompting, immediate obedience to that initial prompting will keep you out of temptation. Well, here's the question now. How do we overcome temptation? And number one, I hope you're still taking notes. This is prefaced, of course, by the fact that we have truly been converted already. Because, you see, the unconverted person has a tougher time because of that ruling ego, remember? But when we get our ego under God's control, the control of God's Spirit, now it's just a matter of practicing the principles of God. Number one, you overcome temptation by your faith. Look what Paul says. I wanted to know about your faith, lest by some means the tempter, having tempted you, and all the time we spent trying to get you on the right track was in vain. Faith is very related to the ability to overcome temptation. I want you to know that you can overcome temptation every single time. But you must believe that because you are your faith. And some of us can't overcome temptation because we don't believe that we can. Your faith is important. I want you to know, because faith rests, remember, on the Word of God. That's where you get it from. So the Scriptures teach us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the heart is the home of your faith. So what you think in the heart is what you really believe. And if you really believe in your heart that you can overcome temptation, you can. But if you think you can't, then you can't. You see, if you believe in your heart, you can do it. Look at what the Scripture says. You can do it every single time. Whatsoever is born of God, look at this, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Look at what it is. Even our faith. Who is he that overcomes? Look at this, next verse. But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, if you don't believe that you can overcome, then believe that Jesus, who is in you, can. Because the first step to overcoming temptation is to use your faith. Because The Word of God says you can do it. And if you believe the Word of God, you have that faith, you can do it every single time. So the first thing is by faith. Then secondly is by being rooted in Scripture. Here's a parable. Look at this. Remember, the seed was sown, and some of it fell on good ground, some thorny ground, some on the rocks. But they that on the rocks are those which, when they hear the word, look at, they receive the word with joy. Look at that. They've got enthusiasm when they first hear the word. But watch the rest of the scripture. But they don't have a root. And so, well, look at this. And they believe for a little while, but in the time of temptation, they fall. They fall because they weren't rooted. You see, roots bring sustenance into the life of the plant. And that's exactly what the Word of God will do for you. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. He said, I will meditate in thy precepts, and I will have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Because it's when we get the word inside of us and get rooted and grounded in Scripture, and then when temptation comes, that word that's in you will come right up out of you if it's gotten into you. Do not. Oh, my friends, listen closely for a moment. Do not be casual about God's word. This is the next to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to know his word. And they are not a choice of one or the other. Job, he said, this book is more than my necessary meat. It's like fire in the bones, one said. You know, it was Billy Graham in the front of his Bible, the flyleaf, had a little, years ago when he first became a Christian, written, I believe in his own handwriting, or that of a friend. And it's his testimony. In the front of his Bible, it says, sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. So next to using your faith, we need to be rooted in the Word of God. And then thirdly, we need to learn how to quote the Word of God accurately. Now here we have Jesus being tempted. So when you're tempted, here's what Jesus answered, and Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So Jesus quotes the scripture. Now that's what we would expect. But guess what happens next? The devil takes him up to the holy city, puts him on a high place in the temple. And look at this. Now Satan's quoting scripture. Look at this. If you're the Son of God, cast thyself down. Look at this. For it is written. And then he goes and quotes the scripture. Actually, he's misquoting scripture. The word of God can be misquoted, misused, misapplied. And if you do that, or somebody else misquotes the scripture for you, I'll never forget the story of a young man. And tragically, really, he was giving this as a testimony, and it was a terrible experience to listen to, because he's told how his friends were going to get him to drink whiskey after he became a Christian. They got him down the ground, and he said, they were going to pour that whiskey down my throat. And he said, all of a sudden, I didn't know what to do, so I remembered the scripture that if I drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt me. So I just downed her. That is to misquote the scripture. That is to quote the scriptures erroneously. You see, what do you do if Satan quotes, or if someone else quotes to you the scriptures inaccurately? What do you do? You quote it accurately. Look at Jesus. Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See, it's not enough to quote the word. You must quote it accurately. Then, number four, call out to God. Look at this. He himself has suffered. Jesus was suffered, being tempted, and because that, he is able to succor. And that word means to relieve those that are tempted. If you call out to God, he will help you. For the scripture says, look at this, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, that call upon him in truth. He will always be there for you. God has guarantees about temptation. Here we go. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. We all have the same temptations. Don't think you're different. Look at this. But God will not let you be tempted above that which ye are able. You will never have a temptation bigger than you can handle. And look at this. With every temptation, God will also make a way to escape. If you practice these principles, you can beat temptation every single time.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.